Good morning, Ooses, and welcome to the 51st episode of Not Your Mama's Soap Opera. Tonight's episode, we're going to go over that scum of a city that is Gotham City, inspired by the viewing of, I think arguably a superhero cult classic almost, if you will, Joaquin Phoenix's and Todd Phillips' The Joker. Surprisingly enough, as I saw the movie this past weekend, I know it's late as it came out at the beginning of October, but I couldn't help seeing parallels to the world of professional wrestling behind the Dark Knight's greatest nemesis, the one who laughs, Joker. That being said, Ooses, sit back and relax. We're about to send in the clowns on the 51st episode of Not Your Mama's Soap Opera.
Ladies and gentlemen, introducing the Wrestle Addict Radio Network.
Hey, what's up, you guys?
What is going on, everybody?
What up, fam?
Hey, it's me.
What up, Ooses?
What's up, guys? This is the Monday Night Delight.
Are you looking for a network that brings you all things pro wrestling? Then look no further. Wrestle Addict Radio brings you a varied source of wrestling content.
What's going on, guys? This is Willie T.
My name's Mr. Press.
This is your resident smart slayer.
Search for Wrestle Addict Radio on all major podcast platforms, and be sure to hit that subscribe button so you never miss an episode.
Buzz, guys, my name is Kate Murphy of the Kings of the Ring podcast, and you are listening.
And you are listening.
Get ready for a war, because you're listening.
Come join the war each and every week as we fight to keep wrestling real.
What's up, everybody? This is King Ricky Rose, and you are listening to Wrestle Addict Radio.
This is Not Your Mama's Soap Opera, where we showcase the entertainment side of professional wrestling.
We interrupt our program to bring you this important message.
The only thing that's real is me, and the fact that day in and day out, for almost 6 years, I have proved to everybody in the world that I am the best on this microphone, in that ring, even in commentary. Nobody can touch me.
Every Wednesday after midnight, exclusively on Wrestle Addict Radio.
Why would I want to lessen myself, my legacy, my bloodline to be the next John Cena when I can be the one and only Roman Reigns?
I'm your host, DFDC, Jeff Pamaccio.
This was supposed to be my time, my opportunity, my turn to be champion. And not because any of you decide that Becky Lynch finally deserves it. No, because I say I deserve it. Because I say that I'm the best. And there is not a woman on this roster or a person in this arena or any of you watching at home that can tell me different.
This is Not Your Mama's Soap Opera. Welcome, Ooses.
Good morning, Ooses, and welcome to the 51st episode of Not Your Mama's Soap Opera. As always, I'm your host, DFDC, Jeff Pamaccio, and you can find me at 52 Points of Art on Twitter. You can find the show at @not_opera on Twitter. And you can find the Wrestle Addict Radio, our exclusive network, at @ADDICT_WRESTLE on Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook. We encourage you to join the Ohana in supporting the Wrestle Addict Radio Patreon, where you'll find exclusive content from all your favorite Wrestle Addict Radio shows, including my show, Not Your Mama's Soap Opera. As we settle into this 51st episode, it was all inspired by The Joker. I think it goes without being said that I'm a very big comic book fan and superhero fan, like I am passionate about professional wrestling. When it comes to the big caped crusaders, the big names, my favorite growing up and now, was always Batman. And what is the better yin to the yang than the Joker is to the Dark Knight himself? And I think in seeing the Joker, audiences, those who weren't aware of it, understood. And those like me who went in skeptical because we're so passionate about this character were happily surprised with Joaquin's Phoenix portrayal of the clown prince of crime, the Joker. I just want to say off the bat, though, Heath Ledger still is my favorite actor to portray the Joker. Particularly, I think his ability to still be comedic, it's in his comedic timing while still being creepy and threatening, is what put Heath Ledger over the edge as the best for me. In particularly, the hospital scene with Harvey Dent, who had just become Two-Face, is still my favorite scene almost really in any movie. Those of you who aren't comic book fans are saying to yourself, why are we talking about the Joker? When are we going to talk about wrestling? And we're getting there. The reason why I thought about this so in particular when it came to wrestling is because the Joker, which some of you may or may not know, was an anthology film, meaning it was a standalone story within the bigger universe of Batman and DC Comics. And I think that's really important to note, because it was not part of the main continuity, it was not part of canon, in the essence that this was the definitive origin of Arthur Fleck, aka the Joker, but it was just an example. And when I think in 2019, you know, as we are approaching Halloween, as we're approaching the holiday season going into 2020, you know, the world of wrestling has so changed so drastically over these past 10 months. And it's really interesting because even now, even when, you know, TNA, or rather, Impact Wrestling puts on Bound for Glory, and you see those ghosts of TNA come back, we're seeing how even a style of wrestling like Joey Ryan's is so out there. It's so anthology in the essence. It's one aspect. It's one example of professional wrestling, but it's not defined professional wrestling as a whole. Along those lines, as many of you know, I'm a big supporter of the King of Dong style, Joey Ryan himself, because of his unique ability to connect with fans and demonstrating to professional wrestling fans that there is not a right way to be a professional wrestler. There's not a right way to be an entertainer. Maybe there's a right way to do a WWE style, or there's a right way now to do an AEW style, but there's no set way. And Joey Ryan proves that with his Dong style. Priscilla Kelly, who we're also a big fan of here at Not Your Mama's Soap Opera, also demonstrated that with her tampon spot and the subsequent shirt, I Bleed for Priscilla Kelly, that went to charity that we happily own. Speaking of Two-Face, though, I think it could not go without being said that Darby Allin, who not only continues to steal the show every time he is on AW Dynamite, for me at least, literally comes out looking like Two-Face with half of him dead and half of him still alive. Darby Allin, of course, is dating Priscilla Kelly, and we hope to see Priscilla Kelly also in the AEW roster. Also, I wanted to point out, Usas, literally, as I'm turning the pages of Detective Comics 1013, which came out last week, I see an AEW Dynamite ad right on the pages next to the Caped Crusader Batman himself. We know that Cody Rhodes has a relationship with Stephen Amell, the star of Arrow, aka the show centered around Green Arrow on the CW, which is a fellow hero in the DC universe alongside Batman. So we understand that connection is there, and we saw leading up to AEW Dynamite the sketches and drawings that DC artists did in transitioning AEW superstars to the pages of DC Comics. But what is it about specifically Gotham City and the Joker and Batman that I really think applies perfectly to professional wrestling? And as we go into this new era, when you have New Japan buying an American company, you have WWE failing to buy a Japanese company, and all the while you have AEW who continues to beat out NXT's ratings so far week after week. To first understand the connection between Gotham, Batman, and professional wrestling, you have to understand the character of Batman. From trauma, he decided to use what he was afraid of, him being Bruce Wayne, to affect his enemies, to really stoke fear in them, to be more intimidating than themselves. It was really interesting in the fact that I was watching the new CW Batwoman show with Ruby Rose that has, you know, found itself a lot of criticism. I personally enjoy it because I enjoy the character of Batwoman. If you don't know, Kate Kane is the cousin of Bruce Wayne in the comics and takes on the cowl of Batwoman after Bruce Wayne goes missing. For me, though, Gotham City is professional wrestling. You know, it is violent, it is rough, it is not necessarily kind to those who feel as though they deserve to be there and deserve to get ahead, but it's about how you play the game, it's about the business, it's about understanding who is really in power in Gotham City and knowing that it's not the mayor, it's not Commissioner Gordon, arguably it's Batman, which I think in a really weird way for me, once you understand that Batman has the power in this situation, he is the authority, he is the Dark Knight, it makes you think, who would that be in WWE? And I think who I'm going to say is actually quite surprising, because I really think in this situation, Triple H is Batman, the Dark Knight. His Thomas and Wayne, aka his parents, being murdered for a Batman sense, was the clique and the Madison Square Garden incident of the clique that was his catalyst in becoming the Triple H we all now know, the game. Then, you know, who's the yin to that yang? You know, better believe it, I mentioned it before, Cody Rhodes is his Joker. And I think we saw that in particularly in his influence when Cody Rhodes donned the Stardust character prior to his exit to WWE. And even now, over in AEW, we see Cody with his bleach blonde hair, this new persona of Cody and Brandi Rhodes, very eerie and similar to a Joker and Harley Quinn over in the DC Comics realm. In the Joker movie, one of the lines is, people expect you to behave as if you don't. I think that what that is to mean in a wrestling sense is people are going to try, like Jim Cornette, are going to try to define what wrestling is. And they expect you to act like professional wrestlers, when in actuality, what is a professional wrestler? We were mentioning this about Joey Ryan. Many would argue that he is not a true professional wrestler. Us over here at Not Your Mama Soap Opera would argue that he is one of the best professional wrestlers currently today, in addition to others like Bray Wyatt and Priscilla Kelly, Luchasaurus, Darby Allin, Roman Reigns, Becky Lynch. The list goes on and on, and yes, I was just rattling off some of my other favorites. But just as some might argue that Joey Ryan is the epitome of professional wrestling, the same argument, unfortunately, can be made for Bobby Lashley and Lana and the love triangle that they have going on with Rusev. While I myself miss the days when Rusev came out in a WrestleMania entrance with a fucking tank against John Cena, I have to say, he looked very confident in the ring with Jerry the King Lawler and running into that restaurant with his Ron Jeremy mustache and his street clothes. This is clearly an evolved character. But as it was pointed out on Twitter, this kind of storyline would have been very common in the Attitude Era, which was the supposed best time in professional wrestling. But the thing is, not everybody's on board with it. I'm not on board with it. Bobby Lashley for me just, I don't know, maybe it's the lack of eyebrows. I just don't know what it is. He just can't emote well. I feel like he's too much of a statue. Too statuesque. Maybe that's what it is. He needs a little bit more charisma. In a way, he's kind of like Clayface, the Batman rogue gallery member who is able to take the shape of anything he envisions after being an actor and falling into some acid, which changed around his DNA and so on and so forth. But Bobby Lashley and Lana represent that double-edged sword of the argument that anything can be professional wrestling and people expect you to behave as you don't. And I think even more so that logic can be applied to Seth Rollins and the dismal championship tenure that he has been on as Universal Champion. I understand that it's not his fault. I also understand, though, that it depends who he's working with. For example, in Batman, there is a villain known as the Creature. Not a lot of people even care about the creature. But depending on the story, he could be one of Batman's most harshest villains. Maybe not the level of the Joker, who you can say is maybe the fiend to Seth Rollins' Batman, but you do know that he's a real threat. And that's what I think is so troubling, is because Seth Rollins feels as though that he's just a scripted threat. It's not a real threat. There's no reason why anybody wants him to win and succeed. We're going to the Monday Night Raw on November 4th from the new NYCB Live Arena, and we're going to see, or at least how the card is being billed now, as Seth Rollins versus The Fiend in a cage match. I should be really excited for this. I really should be. And I take that back. I do not think that Bray Wyatt and The Fiend are Seth Rollins' Joker, but rather I think they're his Bane. And I want, like in this Nightfall story of Batman, I want Bane to come in and break Batman's back. I want Seth Rollins to fall under the pressure of The Fiend. I don't think that it's believable that Seth Rollins continually is beating The Fiend, especially when you close out a pay-per-view, ref finish or not, with a blood coming out of your mouth. I just don't see it. Maybe I'm wrong. But even so, we spoke about last week his reasoning to go and burn the Firefly Funhouse. And I just like, where was that motivated from? And why wasn't it addressed yet? I know that's going to be addressed on SmackDown, and I know that Bray was drafted to SmackDown, but that's the problem when you have ongoing stories and then you have a draft that seems so haphazard. One of the shining moments of Monday Night Raw this past week, though, was Humberto Castillo and his match versus Seth Rollins, and he introduced this, almost in a way, this Booster Gold. For those who aren't familiar with Booster Gold, he is a Batman and DC hero slash villain from the future who goes and steals a bunch of superhero relics and then goes to the past and pretends to be a hero. Now, arguably, he's a villain. Arguably, he's not. In any case, though, you know, people were comparing Humberto to the Black Power Ranger, it's a Power Ranger in general, and even he got in on the joke, and I think that's great. But particularly his willingness to call out Seth Rollins, say, you know, I don't play with fire, you know, or something along those lines, I think was really poignant, and I think it automatically projected him into being taken seriously. And I think the transition that we saw Arthur Fleck make from this laughable clown into the clown prince of crime was very poignant for one superstar in particular. We all know who that is. Everyone's favorite ex-hugger and current SmackDown Women's Champ, Bayley. Give a listen as to what she said on an episode of Miz TV from last Friday's SmackDown on Fox. Here's the hugger herself, or should we say, ex-hugger.
I slashed those Bayley buddies because that has defined me my entire career. It is how they saw me. They saw me fun and colorful, something to put a smile on their face. But what about me, Miz? Every single week I gave and I gave and I gave headbands, high fives, hugs. And all they did was take.
You can hear the heel turn and the passion behind Bayley in explaining herself and her actions after the Hell in a Cell pay-per-view. Very similarly, how you understood the madness that Arthur was going through, whether it was getting beaten up in the subway, whether it was getting jumped in the opening scene, whether it was losing his job after the gun fell out after the hospital scene. There are so many instances where Arthur receives these blow to his psyche, to his personal identity, and feeling that his identity is being attacked as a clown nonetheless, and that starting a movement behind his actions and finally feeling a sense of self-worth. Similarly to how Bayley took the charge and said, you know what, here we go, this is about me now, this is no longer about you, it's about me. As she said, she owes us nothing. And is she wrong? I don't know. The heel turn of Bayley has been this crescendo to her character that she has needed for such a long time. People have been wanting this side of Bayley to come out. People have predicted the side of Bayley to come out and fantasy booked it for a long time. And finally, we're seeing a Bayley without that ponytail, without those Bailey buddies, without the fandom. We're finally seeing this Joker version of Bailey, if you will, and it's incredibly refreshing. Similarly, how when Joaquin Phoenix's character of Arthur Fleck accepted the fact that he was Joker in asking Murray to announce him as such when going on the talk show. However, there was one character that was distinctively missing from the Joker, and I guess arguably, technically, he was in it for two scenes, but I was missing the big bad himself. And when we get back from the break, Ooses, I'm going to break down what was missing from WWE this past week, and it might surprise you, or it might be obvious. We will be right back.
People say you're riding high in April, shot down in May. But I know I'm gonna change that tune when I'm back on top in June. I said that's life, and as funny as it may seem, some people get their kicks stomping on a dream. But I don't let it get me down, 'cause this fine old world, it keeps spinning around.
What up, Ooses? It's your boy, JC Bones, the host of the Fourth Wall WrestleCast, and you're listening to Not Your Mama's Soap Opera, the NPR of Wrestle Addict Radio.
What was extremely frustratingly missing from this past Monday Night Raw was the entire women's division. Yes, I understand they were in Australia. Yes, I understand the pay-per-view happening on Halloween does not have any of the women's roster either. But I really think that in 2019, it is ridiculous that we went for a 3-hour Raw with no women's roster member at all. There was no female superstars on the program other than Zelina Vega and technically Lana. And that really frustrated me. It frustrated me in the same way that not having Batman in the Joker I thought would frustrate me prior to seeing it. After seeing the Joker, though, seeing young Bruce as he was portrayed and having the crescendo of Batman's story gang kicked off with Tom and Martha being murdered as a result of the, you know, chain of events started by the Joker was really captivating and really well done in how they did that. I cannot say the same for Monday Night Raw, and it made it extremely infuriating, especially when you have a draft that, you know, your number one overall draft pick of the whole WWE draft was Becky Lynch, and she was nowhere to be found. I understand that she was in Australia. I understand so was Charlotte. I understand that all of your women's roster predominantly were in Australia. But please give me a pre-recorded promo. That's all I ask. As WWE is trying to dig themselves out of the hole still that was Hell in a Cell between the Rock and the Hard Place that is Hell in a Cell and Crown Jewel, you know, why not let Liv Morgan come back, return in a pre-recorded vignette? She already arguably is the Harley Quinn to Bray Wyatt's Joker, or at least that's all in our fantasy booking minds. We do know that Alexa Bliss has literally donned Harley Quinn gear in her tenure during the WWE, which is wonderful to see as well. And it's amazing when you have superstars, whether it's Zelina Vega, whether it's Alexa Bliss, and others who are so hyper aware, and Kofi Kingston too for that matter, and not to mention Johnny Gargano, who are so aware of the comic book universe that surrounds them, that they're a part of. And it's really amazing to see. Continuing this notion, we have Tessa Blanchard, who is arguably the Wonder Woman of professional professional wrestling, continue these intergender battles within the Impact roster. And they're really exciting to see because it's so groundbreaking. And I think that's what really is fortunate with The Joker 2, is that this movie was entirely groundbreaking during the renaissance of superhero films. And I think arguably we're during the renaissance of professional wrestling as well. Everybody expects it to be the same thing, and they all want every single superhero movie to be Endgame. But the fact of the matter is, that's not the case. The Joker is an example of how a nuanced, specific kind of story can be told, and a character-driven story can completely change the way a character is viewed. And I think this can be said the same thing, whether it's Jack Nicholson, Jared Leto, Cesar Romero, Heath Ledger, and last but not least, Joaquin Phoenix, who have all played the Joker. And do not forget Mark Hamill, who voiced the Joker in the Batman the Animated Series and many of the DC Animated Universe films too. Even within WWE programming, you're able to see all different aspects of these characters portrayed in different matches. One thing that I think is really great is on the NXT level, Velveteen Dream, really embracing that comedic side to wrestling in a serious matter, like the Joker does as well. We're seeing in his bouts at Roderick Strong, that's going to be continued, just how far he's willing to take it in terms of personal blows. And I think that's really great to see at that level, being that they are going head-to-head with AEW. Also, it should be noted, Finn Balor. Finn Balor, we know, taps into this demon persona. And just like Bray Wyatt channeling the Fiend, we see Arthur relying on these demons and of these inner tortures and pain, whether it be his lying mother, whether it be the society forgetting that the poor people and the sick, mentally ill people even exist after being thrown in Arkham Mental Hospital, just to name a few places. But we see this as kind of a rejection of who he was and an embracing of behaving as if he doesn't, and letting himself not take his meds and fully embrace being the Joker. Similarly, as we're seeing Finn return down to NXT and embrace his inner demon, as he put out in that graphic on Tuesday, being in the reflection of Adam Cole's mirror, almost again like this vampire bat-like creature. Furthermore, in the Joker analogy, I believe that us as the fans are the mentally ill in the Joker movie. We are the ones that society has forgotten about, arguably, who's gotten our services taken from us, that we have so much more opportunity, arguably, being in a big city like Gotham, being a professional wrestling fan in 2019. But what we want and our needs are being rejected and not being acknowledged. This can be in the form of a ref stoppage of a Hell in a Cell match, or even the fact of there being no women's roster members on the entire episode of Monday Night Raw. We need a Batman. We need a Dark Knight. We needed an AEW, and luckily that came for us, but that's not everybody's cup of tea. Not everybody wants to see AEW, and that's okay. That's the nice thing about being a professional wrestling fan during this renaissance, is that you have so many options, whether it's New Japan, whether it's AAA, whether it's Impact, WWE, or AEW, and even all the indies too, that we all still have to watch and enjoy. And I think that's a really poignant part of Joker 2. When we see at the end of the movie, when now the famous scene, even in the trailer, of the Joker dancing on the stairs in the rain, going down, you know, he's fully accepted who he is as this supervillain, as this alter ego, the Joker. He no longer is Arthur. And I think that's what a lot of professional wrestlers have been saying too. You know, they're not worried about the ratings. They're not worried about who's working for who, unless you're Kenny Omega and Seth Rollins getting into Twitter battles. But they're saying, you know, come to the show, enjoy the show. Don't watch it through your cell phone. Don't worry about the ratings or what's going on. Just be there. Be a part of the moment. And I think that's really amazing to see. And I think that's why when you're able to see superstars like Rusev, who are dealing with bad booking decisions, able to say, hey, enough with the what chance. He's a Hall of Famer. When you're able to see the fact that Cain Velasquez dead has done work at AAA and it wants to put that work to make it good. When you see that talent like Andrade and Humberto and Aleister Black are getting opportunities to perform on Monday Night Raw, you see there's that hope of that silver lining. But I think it should be said that in order for Raw to get better, it has to be its worst. Hopefully that was seen with Hell in a Cell, and I hope that the draft marks really Raw improving, SmackDown gang improving as they're adjusting to their relationship now with Fox. I think that, you know, let me just say right now that the WWE on Fox Twitter is hysterical, you know, but they're adjusting to that more, and we're seeing even, you know, I think it's so funny that particularly in the Joker film, when you see his first scene with the gun, when he drops it and when he's given to him, and then he just really doesn't know what to do with it, and he's playing around with it, and he sees the girl on the elevator, you know, mimic it, and then he drops it and gets fired, and then he kills those people in the subway. And then, you know, it's funny because as the movie progresses, Arthur is, who can't even fight in the beginning of the movie, becomes this killer, this murderer, this villainous monster by the end of the movie. And it's amazing when you see that transition that Arthur goes on. One of the most striking things about the Joker and about Batman, and I think why so many eyes were on this movie, is because of these characters' legacy. When we get back from the break, Ooses, we're going to continue this discussion about legacy, both in the realm of Gotham and Batman and the Joker, in comparison with WWE, AEW, and the professional wrestling world as a whole. Sit back, relax, and we will be right back. 'Cause I'm a bigger, I'm a grinner, I'm a lover, and I'm a sinner. I play my music in the sun. I'm a joker, I'm a smoker, I'm a midnight toker. Hey folks, this is your Prime Minister, Mr. Fretz, from the Game Changer Podcast. You are listening to Not Your Mama Soap Opera, exclusively on Wrestle Addict Radio. And as always, Ooses, we are saying hello to Matt Riddle and RVD this morning, as always. So if you are truly lifted with us, welcome to the wavelength. And as we enjoy this state of mind, we left off over the notion of legacy. In the beginning of the episode, I made the remark that Triple H is almost like the Batman of the wrestling industry's Gotham City. And I think that if he is Batman, his trainer, his real nemesis, the one who will never die, is Ra's al Ghul, aka Vince McMahon, and his grip on the industry. Now, that being said, he is genius, he is immortal. We are seeing his fine ability and why he's in the position he is in. And even though on paper he might be the greatest adversary to Triple H at the end, it really all comes down to Joker. But that being said, though, it's all about the legacy. In the comic books, we see many people hold on and take over the mantle of Batman, whether it is Kate Kane as Batwoman, whether it's my personal favorite, Terry McGinnis with Batman Beyond, or the various Robins to don the cowl themselves, we see that there's a legacy continually evolving. I think the same can be said for Triple H, and particularly with NXT. The NXT champions at Triple H is there, he hand selects to be there. And their legacy with Triple H and NXT isn't forgotten. I think this is seen directly with Finn Balor being the first Universal Champion and then now coming back to NXT, and even more so with stars like Johnny Gargano and Tommaso Ciampa as well. We clearly see them almost as the Robins, whether it be Dick Grayson and Jason Todd respectively, to Triple H's Batman. And on the AEW side of things, I think obviously the Rhodes family is the Wayne family for AEW, with Cody being Bruce, Brandi being Selena Kyle, aka Catwoman, and Dusty Rhodes being Thomas Wayne, whose death was really the catalyst for Cody Rhodes making a name for himself and wanting to start this journey of All Elite Wrestling. It shouldn't go without being said that the Joker has directly inspired some of our favorite professional wrestlers, including Sting and Finn Balor himself, that he previously donned before coming to WWE. For me, professional wrestling has always embodied the message that Heath Ledger's Joker gave to all of us in The Dark Knight in the now infamous quote of "Why So Serious?" one that I proudly have with me forever. There will be a special war paint on that, two Ooses, if you guys request it, at the Wrestle Addict Radio Patreon. But that Why So Serious notion of, even if wrestling sucks, even if Monday Night Raw is the worst thing you've ever seen, and even if you don't care about Tyson Fury taking on Braun Strowman, you still have wrestling to watch. You shouldn't take it so seriously. It's a professional wrestling show. It can be fun. You can enjoy seeing Marco Stunt be a part of the Jurassic Express and dominating the ring. You can see the spots and the maneuvers that the Young Bucks go on with Private Party and be thoroughly enjoyed just as much as you might be entertained by Rusev giving Bobby Lashley his just dessert in the bottom of that restaurant floor. But like wrestling and like comic books, and particularly Batman, that is ongoing. And that doesn't stop, which is why you shouldn't take it so seriously. Because just because this past week's SmackDown or Monday Night Raw or AEW or NXT wasn't up to par, there's always next week. There's always is that new opportunity to keep the story going, which allows these characters to evolve, which allows the Joker movie to become such a smash hit in 2019, despite having other successes at the cinema for the superhero genre, including Endgame, which is the top grossing film of all time. But because of the staying ability and name recognition of characters like the Joker, we're seeing the story and the characters be continually to be reinvented, as we're seeing in the professional wrestling ring. Particularly as Kevin Owens came back again now using the stunner, we're seeing this new iteration of Kevin Steen from back in the indie days, now as Kevin Owens, and that character continuing this progression and evolution from being fired from SmackDown Live to now showing up on Raw. It's so incredible to see the path that Kevin Owens is going on, and hopefully he'll continue to go. One of my favorite matches will always be his match versus John Cena when he first showed up as NXT champion, again going back to that Triple H legacy notion previously mentioned. One of my fears when the Joker movie was announced was that it wasn't going to be done right. It wasn't going to feel like a Joker movie. And luckily, those fears were wrong. But I'm unfortunately full of those fears when it comes to seeing the likes of Hogan and Flair in the ring for this Saudi show. I do not know what's going to come of it. I really don't understand it, why they're building it the way they are. And they just, you know, it's like, we know that they're in this deal and we know we should just accept it, but it's just like, I just don't want to. It's on Halloween. Are we going to watch the day of? Absolutely not. That being said, though, Ooses, I cannot wait till the 52nd episode, our year, the marker of our year episode, 52 weeks of Not Your Mama's Soap Opera. Next week comes out on October 30th, the day before Halloween, and you know next week it is going to be Halloween themed, so please stay tuned for that, Ooses. Next week, exclusively on Wrestle Addict Radio. But even in the Batman sense, you know, Batman has this entire rogue gallery of villains, and it has these entire, you know, the Wayne family, and there's so much of this lore around the Dark Knight and around Batman, and the Joker is such a key component to that. And I think that really goes back at the end of the day, no matter what, in any wrestling match, it needs a heel and a face. You need two people going at it, whether it's complexing ideas like the Queen versus the Man or the Architect and the Fiends. You need these strong opposing characters, these mirror images of each other with just enough of a difference to tell a captivating story. And I think that is what hopefully we are working towards as this renaissance of professional wrestling continues. I'm really excited to see, though, where these storylines take us. My last live event, as you all know, was the premiere episode of AEW Dynamite from Washington, D.C. My next live event will be the November 4th edition of Monday Night Raw, coming up in a couple weeks. And I'm so excited to be there in attendance again. I love when WWE puts on shows in my own backyard. If you are there, Ooses, if you want to come say hello, please do so. It will be a treat and a thrill. I think wrestling fans have this unique ability, and I think it's a thing that comic book fans also have the unique ability too, is just because you are a fan of Batman, or maybe you're a fan of the Joker, that doesn't mean you're not both a fan of DC Comics. And I think similarly in wrestling terms, just because you're a fan of The Undertaker doesn't mean you can't be a fan of Shawn Michaels. And just because you're a fan of AEW doesn't mean you can't be a fan of WWE as well. And I think that is the moral of the story here. Even though people expect you to behave as you don't, at the end of the day, we can all put a smile on that face, and knowing that we have professional wrestling, we have this community, despite wrestling Twitter being the cesspool that it is, and despite Raw not being exactly up to par, sometimes it's okay not to take everything so seriously. Sometimes it's okay to laugh. It's okay to enjoy it. It's okay to live the joke. It's okay to embrace your inner Joker. What the Joker film did to me was it exceeded expectations. It was this character-driven story that really took the viewers on a journey into the madness that what it took in allowing Arthur to become the Joker. And I think, you know, in a much less serious version, Being the Elite does that for AEW too. In this little YouTube 20-minute short that also happens, comes out on Monday, we see the stories and, you know, just the different ways that the AEW roster are able to tell their story and what they need to do to embrace AEW. I think it's really great to see, and I think it's similarly to what the network specials do for WWE superstars. I certainly hope that the WWE 24 about WrestleMania, and maybe even one about Finn's return, comes out soon on the network, because as I mentioned last week with the Ciampa one, those are really what pulls me and gets me in and say, why should I care about these people? That's exactly why. And they answer that. That's both for the Joker, for being the Elite, and for the WWE network content. It's funny, you know, they say the way to understand the differences between Marvel and DC is that Marvel focuses on the person and DC focuses on the hero itself. And I think if you're taking that DC approach and you're looking at the Batman, who, you know, represents, you know, his own laws and what he needs to do to achieve that, the Joker isn't so far off. It's an alternative method of justice, which is why I think it is appropriate to compare AEW and WWE in this light. And AEW isn't afraid to have Chris Jericho go out and say, you know, that was bad writing, that doesn't exist here, when calling out Jack Hager's over gimmick in WWE. They're not afraid to shy away from Nyla Rose being in their championship match, or even with Dustin being completely bled open, still in Double or Nothing, which, to be quite honest, is still makes me a little squeamish, but that's just me. They're not afraid to take those risks. Similarly to how Joker is not afraid to go to those places where right now we're seeing WWE hold back on, particularly when it comes to The Fiend and Seth Rollins. And I certainly hope that The Fiend does not fall a victim to his previous bookings, as he did as cult leader Bray Wyatt and versus Randy Orton during that horrible horrors match where, what was it, cockroaches and worms showed up on the match. We don't need that. We do need some Joker laughing gas to make everybody smiling, because they're so happy from the amount of pyro that is received now at live events, unlike Ryder and Hawkins, who received no pyro when they expected some. Ha ha. And you know we're not going to close this episode without talking about everyone's favorite savior, CM Punk. He is often cited as the voice of reason, particularly when he dropped his pipe bomb in WWE. We know now there's a new rumor every single day at this point when he's going to return, if he's going to return. I'll say it then and I'll say it now. I want CM Punk to be happy regardless of what he's doing, whether it's in an octagon, whether it's in a ring, whether it's sitting at home with AJ and she writes Glow. I don't care. I just want CM Punk to be happy. That being said, the commentary that Joker provides to the city of Gotham, particularly in the movie Joker, I think is very similar to the effect that CM Punk had when he broke the fourth wall and that pipe bomb and really let so many people who weren't aware about the business inside as to what the business was really like for somebody like CM Punk, who I consider one of my greatest role models. With that being said, Ooses, thank you so much for tuning in to the 51st episode of Not Your Mama's Soap Opera.
My father was He goes off crazier than usual. Mommy gets the kitchen knife to defend herself. He doesn't like that. Not one bit. So, me watching, he takes the knife to her, laughing while he does it. He turns to me, and he says, "Why so serious?
You need smoke up like a date. I got it with my cake. Need the packs and need the bricks. Running fast on the lake. Making money is the race. First place or a late. Me the mama count that cash, cause she know I do not play. And if homie move around, shooters gon' light up the place. No killer in your town, but with no face, no case. I'm off the reefer. Pop a pill, a geeker. Jumpin' on my sneaker. A soccer world believer."
Hey guys, it's the Princess of Pro Wrestling, SoCal Val. You are listening to Wrestle Addict Radio. I'm sending all the love from California. Mwah!
And for those ooses who made it to the end of the episode, thank you so much for tuning in to the 51st episode of Not Your Mama Soap Opera. It truly means so much to me that we have had this opportunity to create and connect every Wednesday after midnight for nearly a year. Next week will mark a year, and as the show is debuting on October 30th, you know that it's all going to be about Halloween and professional wrestling, followed by a recap of Monday Night Raw on the November 5th show, as I am attending the November 4th Monday Night Raw on Long Island at the NYCB Live Arena. So stay tuned for that, Ooses, in the next upcoming weeks. If you would like some non-wrestling podcasts to check out, please give Big Heck and Wade Adventures a listen. Heck and Wade really break down everything from comics to pop culture with incredible passion and dedication, along with the R&R Pod of Film, where Cody and Glenn break down movies and really show their heart on their sleeves. If you thought my Joker interpretation was good, wait until you hear Cody's. Then also we have The Rant, where Aunt Brad and Kyle have so much fun, whether talking about the Wedding Crashers, the diets that they're on, Star Wars, anything and everything in between. You'll definitely have a good time. With last but not least, the Fully Posable Wrestling Figure Podcast, where Scott and Jeff Toon just give you everything you need to know when it comes to wrestling figures. If you're part of the hashtag uppercase fig life, you already know the wonderful content that they bring to us, and you definitely don't want to miss any of these shows. And in supporting them, you're supporting me too, DFDC Jeff Pomaccio. If you want to reach out to me, you can do so at 52 Points of Art on Twitter. You can reach out to the show at @not_opera on Twitter. And you can reach out to Wrestle Addict Radio, our exclusive network, at @ADDICT_WRESTLE. All on Twitter. Thank you so much, Ooses, for tuning in to this 51st episode. I cannot wait to connect with you next week for our 52nd episode of Not Your Mama Soap Opera. Thank you so much, Ooses. Jeff out.
Ladies and gentlemen, introducing the Wrestle Addict Radio Network.
Hey, what's up, you guys?
What is going on, everybody?
What up, fam?
Hey, it's me.
What up, Ooses?
What's up, guys? This is the Monday Night Delight.
Are you looking for a network that brings you all things pro wrestling? Then look no further. Wrestle Addict Radio brings you a varied source of wrestling content.
What's going on, guys? This is Willie T.
My name is Mr. Press.
This is your resident Smart Slayer.
Search for Wrestle Addict Radio on all major podcast platforms and be sure to hit that subscribe button so you never miss an episode.
Buzz, buzz, guys. My name is Kate Murphy of the Kings of the Ring podcast, and you are listening.
And you are listening.
Get ready for a war, because you're listening.
Come join the war each and every week as we fight to keep wrestling real.
What's up, everybody? This is King Ricky Rose, and you are listening to Wrestle Addict Radio.